Moving forward, free of the crowd, singling himself out for notice. These are just children, nothing more, and their parents should be found before they are condemned to a life in the pits, or... Here he turned and stared directly at Gentian, with the stonekeeper. She folded her hands in the sleeves of her robes. You should be silent, guardsman. Your keeper elected not to participate in the competition of this Congress, and thus she has no voice here. Isobar glanced into the crowd, which so far made no move to take hold of him. Among their number he saw Sawos, the bannerman of his goddess. The look on his face was set and stern, but Isobar noticed he managed to position himself close, just in case. It was only a small comfort, but it was something. We may not have built any homunculi, but in penance every deity has a voice. Isobar turned to the crowd and they began to nod in unison. It was the one thing still held sacred amongst all the warring temples. And Marikis will not be silenced by anyone from earth to sun. Gentian stood still like a small angry statue, glaring at him, perhaps judging the mood of those around. We are the winners of this year's competition, she said finally, and your keeper should really have built a homunculus instead of sending a pitiful guardsman to defend what remains of her honour. The creation at her side lurched suddenly to life. Isobar was not caught by surprise. He watched Gentian for the last 3 years, and though she was of the earth, she was anything but slow and thoughtful. He slipped back from the homunculus, dodging under its massive swing easily enough. A competition for the children, then! The arbiter's voice rose thin and reedy above the sudden cheers of the crowd. They were ready to be entertained after far too much thinking, Isobar realized. The guardsman had no time to decide how he felt about this particular turn of events, because the homunculus came at him, and he had nothing with which to defend himself. He heard his name called and caught a glimpse of Sawos to the right, tossing the banner to him. The egg-blue fabric fluttered uselessly, but the spear it was attached to was sturdy when he wrapped his fingers around it. As the homunculus swung again, Isobar deflected the blow, though the power of it took him down to one knee. The crowd around him was not allowing much room to move, and to survive the ferocity of the creation's attack, the guardsman needed to manoeuvre. He caught a glimpse of the three children, one pulled back tight against the grinning gentian, the second held by the arbiter, but the third remained where she was placed, watching the battle unfurl around her. Isobar saw that same baffled look in Nenio's eye. It was a moment of distraction and weakness that cost him dearly. The homunculus arched back and threw out one of its massive feet. The blow was enough to break even the stout spear of his goddess in half, but it saved his ribs from being crushed. Isobar had the breath knocked out from him and found nowhere to roll away from the homunculus as it pinned him to the ground with one massive foot. He was only able to see a slice of what was going on. He heard the wail of a child, the first from any of the sisters, and then the surge of cries from the crowd of priests and priestesses. Some of them were delighted at his fall, others apparently horrified and calling out for mercy. None of that mattered to Isobar because he saw his family from that position. Even as the crushing weight of the homunculus bore down on him, his eyes locked on Kaya and Ninio. She was guiding their son away from the tumult. The tears ran down her cheeks. But then Isobar saw his wife push Ninio away from her, deep into the crowd. They were well matched, he and she, for she could not let an injustice happen either. Isobar couldn't look away, as Kaya turned her beautiful face to the sky and spread her arms out wide so her cloak hung from her fingertips like wings. He wasn't surprised when 1,000 gleaming insects leapt from within her clothing into the air. For an instant it produced a shining halo around her body, lending her the appearance of a devotional altar image of Mother Sky. No priestess was supposed to bring progeny into penance, but somehow Kaya knew they would be needed.